voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
And good morning, Dr. Brown. We are actually at probably one of the lowest positivity rates Connecticut has seen in a matter of months. What are you thinking about that? Hospitalizations are at some of the lowest we've seen. It's got to be a huge improvement and a weight off of doctors' shoulders, no?
It absolutely is, yes, and that's exactly right. We're, seeing little to no patients. I mean, sort of remainers from the last wave. But yes, right now we're dealing with complications, but we are hardly seeing any new cases, which is fantastic. I think that's great for everybody.
And would you say the typical COVID patient, is it still some of the younger demographics, non-vaxxers, or has that changed?
No, it's still non-vaxxers.
Okay.
So people who have not received vaccines are sort of the last few people that we are seeing. You've probably heard about some of the clusters that we've seen. So clusters of people who have become positive are usually young adults, having a party, not taking proper precautions because they're not vaccinated.
Okay. Now, I heard an announcement yesterday from the CDC telling lawmakers that the agency is expecting data on COVID vaccines in pregnant women sometime this summer. Now, I remember when the pandemic first started, Dr. Brown, you and I started talking about the concerns of being able to get pregnant or to have a healthy pregnancy if, in fact, you get the COVID vaccine. What's the latest you can share this morning for people who are either trying or are currently expecting?
Exactly. And so this study we knew was started, started months ago. And we talked about this a little bit last week about doing subsets of people. So again, you don't need to necessarily have as many, but you do need to have enough that have either had the infection or had the vaccine or, sort of longer term, because now we're going into a longer period of time in which people have been vaccinated. Right now it's looking very positive. Which is not surprising. So it looks, receiving the vaccine, we know in animal models that it has no effect on fertility and has no effect on pregnancy. We also know that people, pregnant females who actually do get infected with COVID-19, we do know that there's a higher risk of injury to them, more side effects, and potentially even death to them or their unborn child.
Mm. And what I thought was also interesting from the CDC, Dr. Brown, was that they were saying the reason COVID could complicate pregnancies, which you don't really hear a lot in headlines, it is not necessarily because of always the fact that you're sick from COVID, but the fact that it will probably mean leading a woman who's expecting to the hospital and spending a lot longer time in the ICU and being more at risk for severe outcomes. I thought that was interesting and a point that doesn't really get talked about that much.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is that you're, again, you are at a higher risk. And that's also complications associated with it. I mean, we talk about getting the side effects from COVID-19. I mean, it's bad enough that, a third of the population end up having some sort of psychiatric or neurologic deficiency. That actually increases and can be more severe in a pregnant female.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Fred Brown this morning of Griffin Hospital. All of our COVID questions answered every single Thursday morning. Now, Dr. Brown, I was curious. Last week, we actually got a great question from a listener because obviously the CDC made an announcement, of course, Thursday afternoon, go figure, after I had talked
right.
to you.
I've been waiting a week. Call from you, Melissa.
I've been waiting a week to talk to you, so you can imagine how many questions I have. But we had a great question before I dive into that from a listener who said, it seemed like the 12 to 15-year-old age bracket, they got approved very quickly for Pfizer. And I know you and I had talked about how it's because of where their bodies have developed at this point. But a question our listener had, which was a great question, for like the 6-month-olds to 11-year-olds, are they just testing basically Pfizer or even Moderna with smaller doses? Is that what they're looking at, or are they looking at a different version of their vaccine?
They would be looking at, and again, this is just theoretical. I do not know.
Right.
But I will tell you that, just based on science and based on my sort of background knowledge, it would be a smaller dose.
Okay.
And that's probably what it is. I mean, and again, they may not have to reduce the dose, but I think that is going to be the big question in the researcher's mind. Is the current dose appropriate for a younger child, or does the dose have to be decreased?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good question. Now, Dr. Brown, of course, getting back to my very quick rant before, immediately I had the question in my mind because it was daunting to me that it feels like it wasn't that long ago. I'm going to go on a limb and say maybe 2 months ago that Dr. Fauci came out and said, listen, I don't even think one mask is safe enough. You should be double masking. And then it seemed like weeks later, the CDC says, all right, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask at all. You could be in big groups, large groups, small groups, outdoors, indoors. It doesn't matter. You're like invincible is really sort of the way Dr. Walensky kind of sounded, honestly. Mm-hmm. How doesn't that kind of seem bizarre?
Yeah, honestly, and again, I can't go against the CDC, or I can't really make a, you know, necessarily political comment on that. But I could tell you that, you know, there has been some political forces that have been associated with the science that is there. I think some of the comments that the CDC said were a little bit aggressive and had led to some real concerns and confusion that the population has had. Mm-hmm. I think there has been a lot of critique on that, and I think it isn't true. I think really, and I think this is where it's nice that you and I have spoken throughout this, Melissa, is sort of say, okay, you know what, the CDC is saying this, but they're trying to say this for the entire country. You know, what's happening in our state? What's happening in our region? And then what do we need to use to sort of logically look at it and say, okay, is double mask really appropriate for us? And I could tell you that I was not a big proponent of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just been happy to have two people wearing masks. We knew at the very beginning, if two people wear masks, the likelihood to spread an infection was less than 1%.
Right.
Now, it went up a little bit when we were dealing with issues related to mutations and variants, but even then, it was still very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
So two people wearing masks. So coming out when saying wearing two masks, I think was a little bit of an overkill. But again, I think you got to look at the entire country and, you know, different hotspots, and it was important to make those statements.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it does sound like all of a sudden now the CDC is saying, well, we want double masks a month ago, but now nothing.
Yeah.
I could see where people, and I could tell you as we go into, you know, shopping centers and other areas, it's very interesting to hear comments that people make.
Now, Dr. Brown, we were sort of talking about the CDC's huge announcement last week that fully vaccinated people do not have to wear a mask basically anywhere anymore. Large gatherings, small gatherings, outdoors, indoors, anywhere. Good idea or too soon?
Or was a little taken back. I think that was a really big move, and a big move that's going to be really difficult to come back from if we ever need to change that. I wish there was ways to couch these things, you know, when these announcements come out, you know, because I think you know, people get the impression that yes, now you cannot wear your mask at all these times, but you still need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it also says that those who have not been vaccinated, and this is sort of the other piece, is those who are not vaccinated still need to wear their masks. And then those who actually are not vaccinated and those who actually are infected with COVID-19 can still infect someone who is vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's sort of caveats associated with that. Yes, I think it's great. It's great news. It's a little sooner than I expected. I think you and I'll tell you that I was expecting more summer,
mm-hmm.
not sort of late spring. Sort of June, July, that we would be able to say this. But, I think it's great news. I think we will find out in the next week or so, you know, what impact that has. But if numbers are as low as they are, it's been nice and warm. So that means a lot more people are outside. We know this virus is very sensitive to UV light. So the likelihood to transmit it is a lot less. I think we're going to have to wait and see. But yeah, it took me back a little bit also that it was just sort of a blanket. You do not need to wear it if you're vaccinated.
It's bizarre to me, Dr. Brown, and here's why. Because it's not just you, although I will say our listeners really value what you have to say. Doctors and even, you know, some of the biggest ones on the federal level have continued to say that the vaccine is not a cure. It is not 100% efficacy. This is a tool. I feel like I've heard that a million times. This is a tool
absolutely.
In the tool bag. This is a tool
absolutely.
In the tool bag. Okay, so if it's a tool in the tool bag, and we just saw, for example, 9 people on the New York Yankees, all vaccinated, have an outbreak, why would we make an announcement like this? It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it just sounds like we're all over the place. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't make sense.
It does. And I do agree with you, Melissa. I mean, we've been, and I think even through this whole pandemic, I mean, it's just the scattered information that we've received, the, you know, some backed in science, some not. I think it has been a very confusing year. You're not exactly sure what to think about. And then, you know, and then I think people sometimes get the wrong idea. Mm-hmm. You know, they hear the CDC says you don't need to wear a mask anymore. And so they take the mask off, you know, and you know, again, I don't know about you, but over the weekend, I mean, I've literally heard people being aggressive about it because some, you know, businesses have not said, you know, you can take them off. And mm-hmm. our state is not mandated it yet. You know, someone would walk in and, you know, they don't have a mask on. They're requested to put the mask back on. And, you know, and then there's some sort of snide remark that's there about, well, now, you know, now we have an infection as opposed to, you know, last week where, you know, where everybody was going to get the infection. It's
right.
It doesn't work that way. And I think if there is a way that we can sort of explain it, and I think you've heard correctly, it's a tool. Being, you know, vaccinations are a tool. There's still going to be outbreaks. There are still going to be clusters of people who actually get infected by this. There is still the possibility of people who have been vaccinated to get this. I think we don't want people to stop getting vaccinated because they're like, oh, it's gone. We don't.
Right.
I didn't get vaccinated. I don't need to worry about it now. That's actually not the case. And
right.
Remember, last year we saw a nice, you know, downtick in COVID-19 during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it went down. Everybody's like, wow, this is pretty much over. I don't know why we're wearing this mask anymore. And then we got slammed in the fall.
Yes.
So, and who knows what's going to happen again. So I think being cautiously optimistic, I think people being truthful about it, I think people who feel comfortable, you know, or uncomfortable in that matter of fact, uncomfortable walking around without a mask, wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, I think at the very least, it'll prevent you from getting other infections.
Yes.
As we've all seen over the last, you know, over the last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole percentage of people who are actually getting the common cold is down to almost nothing.
It was a great year. No allergies,
yeah.
No flu.
Right.
I liked it. I liked it. I didn't need it. That's good. Well, Dr. Brown, I always appreciate your honesty and talking through a lot of these things that we all have questions on. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Melissa. Have a good day.
All right. You too.